Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives. It is Friday, the 26th of June, 2015. This is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 for the last time from the luxurious Student Union building on the Musqueam territory of Elkson, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On today's program, we say goodbye to the old place. Tomorrow, CITR begins a new era of broadcasting from our shiny new home in the palatial Student Nest. And today, one or two old pals from the old days will drop by to share some memories, plus lots of great local music and our usual rundown of what to do and where to go this weekend. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Oh, man, it's like a ghost town around here. There's like everybody is gone. It's just me and Chris is here, and there's another Chris down the hall, and that's it. Everyone's off to the new building. But we're going to stick it out for the last hour, and then we'll move in next week. We're going to start right off with some music. This is a group. They're not actually local. They're from Winnipeg, but they were one of the first bands to click like on the Dave Radio Facebook page a year ago, and they have a new release out. So let's hear from, this is called Needle and Thread. It's from Kill Matilda. Come on, you're right there. I know you're there.
I'll
there she
find
is.
Your body parts. I'll sew you a new heart. Put you together again with my needle.
I'll find your body part.
All right, that's Leah and Casual Embrace. And it's the last Dave Radio from the old Student Union building. And joining me now is Mr. Chris Defoe. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm sad and I'm full of nostalgia, but I'm really looking forward to the big move. For those of you who tuned in late, CITR is moving across the corridor. We've been sitting here in this Student Union building practically since it was built in 1970 or something.
60-something?
Like. Yeah, maybe. Someone said 48 years ago, so I can't count that high. But starting tomorrow, we're going to hit the big switch and at noon, I think, and we'll be broadcasting from the new Student Nest, the humongous new Student Union building that is finally completed. This move was actually supposed to happen in September.
I think it was even supposed to happen even before that. I think the building, I was reading the UBC, and they said that this has been a much delayed project.
Yeah. Well, I first heard about it 3 years ago. We had the 75th anniversary reunion party of the UBC Radio Society, and then they were showing us all the plans for the new building, and that was when I said, I want to be in there. Can I join again? Can I come back? And they said, yeah, sure. Well, here's an hour at noon. Take that.
And so here we are.
And the rest is history.
You know, it's really nice. It's shoehorned in between the old Student Union building and the Aquatic Center. It's like somebody just sort of squeezed it in there, but it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, that used to be the bus loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's enormous. Coming back here, it's like walking into this building. I walked into that building last weekend. And walking into this building, it's like walking into your elementary school classroom. It's like, wow, it's so small. were the urinals always that long?
That's right. How did I ever fit in that desk? I don't get it.
And it's gone to seed. I was walking up the steps and there's grass growing out of the step. Like they've completely,
we don't care anymore.
Completely abandoned the place. They've stopped cleaning the toilets. I'm sure it's just, you know, disease is rife. So it's good.
Well, that's been the hallmark of this building for the whole time we were
true,
here.
Yes.
You know, disease has been rife. You probably did too. I used to do DJ work in the Pit Pub. And, you know, that big brown dance floor, I referred to it as the world's largest Petri dish.
Yes. Yes, and that was true.
That's right. Lots of stuff growing in there.
Developed lots of immunity in that place.
So what was your first experience in this building?
I guess I came here in 1979 as a freshman.
Yeah.
And avoided this place successfully for about a year until there was a thing called the AMS Listening Lounge, a glassed-off room with comfy chairs and headphones where you could listen to radio stations and stumbled, you know, clicking through the selections. This was one of them because at that point, CITR was only available on closed circuit and I think cable.
That's right.
It had just gone on cable.
Yeah, we didn't actually start broadcasting until 1982.
Right. So I thought, I listened to that and went,
And so... I could do that.
In 1980, fall of 19, I stumbled up here, and with that began the demise of my university education. I graduated, but you know, there were courses that I took that I didn't realize I was taking until I showed up for the exam.
What the hell is this? So, what was your first job at the radio station?
I think it was serving beer, but and I graduated.
That's important.
And I graduated, by stumbled through a variety of roles after that, from vice president of the station, which also involved a lot of serving beer, to program director, which involved trying to fulfill the promise of performance. A bunch of people who drank a lot of beer wrote in a hotel room in Ottawa without really consulting anybody. And then from there, after doing that for a couple of years and filling slots on the newly gone FM station, a task which presented some interesting challenges, including, you know, putting people on the air who may not be temperamentally or, you know, vocally suited to radio.
Yeah, but they're here.
They're here. They drew breath.
Yeah, and we didn't have auto DJ back then.
No.
If there was nobody in the booth, there was nothing on the air. So you had to put somebody in the seat.
Yeah, and you know,
you have a pulse, in you get.
There were some people who were, you know, more talented than others, and some people who locked themselves in the control room and wouldn't leave when the proctor told them to go home at midnight. it was an interesting time. And then once that had launched and more capable people took over as program director, I started out working on Discorder.
That's right. You were one of the people that started that thing, weren't you?
Mike Mines.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Farney started it, and I stumbled over there and offered to edit it after about five or six issues.
Mm-hmm.
When I did that for about 2 years until 1986, my final issue, you had a story in. I think it was August or September 1986.
Yeah.
A
story that I wrote? Is that what you're talking about?
Ian Verscher and I attended the Social Credit Convention in Whistler.
Oh, man, yes.
Blocked
that memory.
Where they were replacing Bill Bennett, who mm-hmm. was past his best before date.
Yeah.
And was possibly unelectable. And there was a fierce competition. Now, for those of you not... as old as we are, Social Credit was a party that ran most of this province for most of the last century.
Yeah. It's basically what the BC Liberal Party is now.
Yes.
We called it Social Credit in the 50s, 60s, 70s,
and 80s. A slightly crazier right-wing part.
Yeah.
The Women's Auxiliary of the Social Credit Party is a thing of legend. But yeah, we went up there, and for some reason...
Think of Dana Carvey's Church Lady as a political movement.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, so we went up there. They, for reasons unknown to me, accredited three people from a college radio program guide to attend and hang around the convention floor as if we were,
real journalists.
Journalists.
And so we had the Give Me Free Drinks press pass.
Yes, and the place was awash in a sea of booze and corruption. It was a very
it was,
special moment.
It was refreshing.
I cherish that memory, and you wrote a wonderful story for us.
Yeah, that was good times. Good times.
Yes.
But I wanted to get back sort of to the beginnings of CITR, as far as when we got on the air, because music was a really important aspect of that. There was, like, we were playing a lot of stuff that nobody was hearing anywhere else. We had this really strong punk music scene going on in the 70s, and they couldn't get any airplay, and CITR was basically the only place that would give local musicians a chance, and stuff that, you know, from Britain and from across the states, bands that are probably like household names now, but that local radio wouldn't touch back then. And so what was the impetus behind that?
It's interesting because I think one of the things that you discovered at our 75th anniversary of the station is that this used to be a training ground for radio people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who came up in the 50s and 60s would come to CYVR, as it was then, to learn how to do radio and would go on to do radio professionally. And a lot of these guys went on into the business. And that sort of trick through the 70s, sort of that didn't... That trickled out. There were people from just before I got here who went on to work at CFOX, but not so much as before. Nobody was going to CITR just to get a job in radio.
Yeah.
The shift to local music, I think you can credit to a couple of people. Tom Harrison, who was here in the 70s and later went on to be the music critic at the province.
Yeah.
He was a big supporter of local music while he was here. And Dave McDonough, who mm-hmm. was the music director when I started here. Dave's brother, Grant, runs Hulu Records.
Right.
And he pushed, playing music that nobody else played, looking towards, the punk rock in New York and the UK. And sort of built up momentum from there, and people started making indie records, and we started playing them and demo tapes, and people would make tapes simply to be played on CITR.
Yeah. And then that brought in a whole new, excuse the pun, new wave of programmers.
Yes.
Because then it became more of a community station than just a campus-based station.
Yeah.
That's sort of what brought me in. Was it was becoming a growing part of the music scene in Vancouver, and so that was sort of that community came in out to the station.
And some of those people are still here.
I mean,
Steve Edge, who does the folk show on Saturday morning, mm-hmm. has been doing that show, I think, since I was program director.
Yeah.
Gavin Walker's another one. George Barrett.
Yeah.
So I spent 6 years at the station. I thought that was a long time.
Yeah.
Apparently not. Just passing through.
Well, let's play a little bit more music, and then we'll come back and talk some more about the good old days of CITR.
Well, you came to my rescue. I needed someone to carry my guitar to the stage. You stood there so tall like a cedar. I was standing in your
in shadow, someone so hard and needed your shade. I heard no, it wasn't you or me who did the talking when I looked at you like I did then. I said, oh, my word, how can I feel this way about my body? It just don't comprehend. And feel it low, say it low, sing it, sha-la-la, sha-la. It's been so long, I thought that part of me was gone. And feel it low, say it low, sing it, sha-la-la, sha-la. It's been so long, I thought that part of me was gone. Since you came inside, and when I saw you again, I knew that you were real. Oh my word, where's the explanation? It don't make any sense, but I know what I feel. Dance me right, left, up and down, till I lose the feeling, oh, it's so sore. Ready for you to walk right through my door. Oh baby, ain't nobody keeping the score. And feel it low, say it low, sing it, sha-la-la, sha-la. It's been so long, I thought that part of me was gone. And feel it low, say it low, sing it, sha-la-la, sha-la. It's been so long, I thought that part of me was gone. Since you came inside,
there I am. Here we go. That's T. Nile. Somewhere. Where we go? Yeah. T. Nile, Tingle and Spark. This tune was called Since You Came Around. We're going to take a look now at some of the stuff that's going on around town on stage. The classic chic production of Glengarry Glen Ross is still going on. It's closing this weekend at the Beaumont. That's the all-female production. Classic Chic is a company that started last year doing all-female Shakespeare. They did Winter's Tale last year, and this year they branched out and did a Mamet play. And it was kind of an interesting challenge for them, because Mamet is notorious for being very controlling about who gets to do his plays. And the idea of having an all-female version, he was always adverse to. But when they promised that it would still be male characters just played by women, he went along with it. And so it seems to be doing okay.
Next year, Neil LaBute.
There you go. Write that down. That's an idea. Let's see. Holmes and Watson Save the Empire, a musical version of Sherlock Holmes at the Metro Theater. That's closing this weekend. And opening this weekend, a play that's very close to my heart because I'm in it. It's Now Theater and Quimera's production of School for Scandal of Vancouver. It's a modernized adaptation of Richard Sheridan's classic British comedy that we all read in grade 12. But it's set in Vancouver in the 21st century. And that's going on at the CBC Studio 700. 1 week only, starts on Sunday the 28th, closes on Sunday the 5th. It'll be dark one night on the 1st of July, so that it's not competing with the fireworks, but it's on every night aside from that. Tickets are super cheap, $15 a seat. And if you buy the $22 ticket, it comes with two drink coupons. So that's worth it there. We've also got Stone's Throw Theater doing Taming of the Shrew at the Pacific. That's just for this weekend. And tonight is Spectral Theater's late night double feature. It's the last Friday of the month. And so you head up to Skinny Fat Jack's tonight, the back alley behind Slickety Jim's at 18th and Main. Tonight, two all-new scripts. The Builders, written by Matthew Lazenreiter, and Burger with a Side of Dyes, written by Simon Hussey. Spectral does radio plays. They used to do live theater down in a little storefront in on Powell Street, and they were doing it was called the Late Night Double Feature, and it was always like Lovecraft stories or parodies of 60s horror movies and that kind of thing. And they lost their venue, so now they do a radio play version of the same stuff in the back of the of this bar at 18th and Main. And once we move into the new building, I'm trying to find a way to get them to actually do radio plays on the radio. So
it's a novel idea.
Yeah.
It work.
Yeah, it could work. I remember when we did the 50th anniversary of the Student Radio Society. We had, I guess they still do it, the Great Trekker Award. It's an AMS award that goes to distinguished alumni. And the year it was CITR's 50th anniversary, the award went to Ray and Ernie Perot. Ray Perot was a liberal senator, mm-hmm. and his brother Ernie had been a longtime writer of radio plays for CBC, and he got his start working for student radio at UBC.
And if you go into the archives, UBC archives, you can find scripts and recordings of those.
Yeah, it's all still there.
Yeah,
it's very cool. So we're trying to bring it back, but if it's not here yet, but it'll be at Spectral Theater on tonight. Yeah. Let's see, what else have I got here? I know I had something else here. There's the Screaming Chickens Burlesque Gang is doing their Taboo Review variety show tomorrow night. This spectacular show will showcase a diverse selection of the group's favorite acts from past seasons, some old favorites from the vault, and some new surprises with a cast of about 30 performers. A rare opportunity to see that much talent in one place tomorrow night at the Rio. The midnight show at the Rio tonight is Reanimator, a classic horror movie from the 80s. And then also tonight, the main double feature is 60s nostalgia, American Graffiti, and Dazed and Confused. So that'll be fun. All right, we're going to take a break, a pause for the cause, important information, and then we'll be back right after this.
Upjars is hosting the first ever Clean Up the Ocean concert on Saturday, July 4th from noon to 8 p.m. at the Prospect Point Picnic Site in Stanley Park. Hear live music from the Green Seeds Music Society, Gabe and the Oyaz, the John Pippis Band, Tan and High, DJ Stamina, and more. Tickets are $50. Proceeds go to Cleaning Up the Ocean. Children and the differently abled get in free.
Do you fancy yourself as an artist, entertainer, or storyteller? Do you want to be the next Leonardo DiCaprio or Christopher Nolan? Well, the UBC Players Club would like to work with you. The Players Club is an ambitious amateur theater group and the perfect place to get involved in theater or gain more experience as an actor, director, designer, producer, or anything and everything else theater related. Our motto, Theater on Your Own Terms, means the club is entirely student-run and formed around the ambitions of its members. Find us on Facebook or at ubcplayersclub.com.
That was something else I wanted to mention about the School for Scandal is that is a group that started at UBC Players Club. They're not all theater students, but they were all interested in theater. And I did a production with them about 3 years ago. And they stayed together. And after they graduated, they went on and formed their own company called Quimera Collective. And they've been doing fringe shows. Last year, they did The Bald Soprano. And this year, it's School for Scandal. So it's good to see stuff like that, you know, starting off and continuing on.
Little acorns.
Yes. So it's 12:30, just a half an hour left for Dave Radio in the old Student Union building. Chris Dafo is with me here, and we're just talking about the old days and getting ready for the start of the new days. So have you been to see the new CITR facility?
I haven't been to seen the facility. I went over there. I rode by on my bike last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The place is still under construction,
yeah,
by the looks of things.
Yeah.
The nest, which is this sort of thing suspended from the ceiling, seems to be still being built, although they have a nice little lounge up top.
Yeah.
It looks kind of fun. So I didn't get this, and there's nobody at the station at that time.
I think
they're all over there now because there's nobody here.
There's nobody here. I know. There's still some Like the beer machine is still here. I don't know if that's going to get moved.
That's important.
It is important. It's, yeah. You know, radio runs on it.
My friend Steve is very fond of that. And I think and provided for its upkeep.
It wouldn't still be here.
Now and after he's gone. So
yeah.
So it's still here.
But we're having we're doing a whole weekend of celebration. Tonight is the wake. There's going to be a party. I think it starts at about 7 o'clock or something.
Yeah.
Here in room 233 of the Student Union Building. So anybody that had anything to do with CITR or the Student Union Building at all over the last 48 years is welcome to come up and kind of share some memories and chip a brick off the wall and. You know,
perhaps Mr. Justice Opal will come.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah, he was at our 75th anniversary reunion lunch. And he wasn't part of it in this building.
No,
he was when they were at Brock Hall.
Yes,
but still, it would be nice.
Yeah,
if you're listening, Mr. Justice Attorney General Opal, it would be nice to have you here. Yeah, so that's going on tonight, and then tomorrow, the big switchover happens.
And I understand there's a parade.
Oh,
I
didn't know.
I don't know. I'm
no, just, no. Nobody tells me anything.
There will be a march from here to there.
That would be cool.
What's going to happen in the interim?
Yeah.
There will be like a mobile thing on a little cart or something. Or there will just be dead air. But apparently, there is a parade at some point.
All I know is we'll be broadcasting from here, and then somebody will say now, and then we'll be broadcasting from there.
Yeah.
So, but a parade route.
And if I'm guessing the parade route, it will be going down the hall, down the stairs, and past the pit.
Oh, great!
Which, as I understand, I'm assuming is still going to be the student pub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the building's still going to be here.
There's still going to be here.
There's still some facilities that are still going to be still being around.
So the petri dish.
Yeah.
Will remain.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments working the pit was the first week of classes, September 1988. And we had a full house and a full dance floor, and everybody was just hopping. It was bouncing. And I opened the mic and said, "All right, hands up, everyone born in 1970. And the hands went up and the arms raised, and everyone was screaming. And then I said, "That would mean you were 18 years old and too young to be in here." Boom, all the hands went down. And then behind me, I heard, "Thanks a lot, Dave." And I turned, and there was the manager of the pub. And I'm still not sure if he was pissed at me for exposing their lax security or pissed at me for making a point.
They had a sort of don't ask, don't tell policy down in the pit.
Yeah, or if he was pissed off at his staff for being so lax.
One of my favorite memories of the pit, and this is, I think, before we started DJing, we had something called the Hot Air Show down there,
mm-hmm.
Which is the predecessor to Shindig before it moved downtown. And we had a bunch of interesting bands over, some of whom made records. I think Valera Lava played down there. But there was this band called the Gargoyles who came on and I think got through about a song and a half before dropping trowel and urinating inside of the petri dish. We had some explaining to do about our vetting process.
Yeah.
But, you know,
you know, but we're, you know, it's
we look back at it and laugh.
This is freedom.
That's right.
We're open to all.
An anticipated slow show at the 1986 Independent Music Festival.
That's right. At Expo. Yeah. Oh yes, Expo. That's a whole other story that we'll get into later. But let's just play some more music right now. Let's see, what have I got? Oh, let's see what's on this CD. I think this is Eugene Ripper. Yeah, it's Eugene Ripper.
Well, I bow my head to the pound glory. Oh, my, it's same old story. Distant guns and sundown red rose haze. Cruising down the road in a Chevrolet. Roadside tractions pass my way. Looking for a sign to take me to my home. All the freaks that my eyes have seen. And my mama wouldn't understand what I mean. Said I bought a ticket for a change on a runaway train. Last time that I left this town, almost died spinning round and round, looking for a sign to take me to my home. Home at the end of the highway, home at the end of the road. Home is the place you will find me, I'm going home, I'm going home. There was a girl in my
Montreal with French perfume in a real fast car. Lighting up the night like the queen of the shooting stars. Yeah. Well, I turned my head, she was looking at me. Two steps closer, baby, she was a he. When I'm looking for a sign, take me to my home. Home at the end of the highway. Home at the end of the road. Home is the place you will find me. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. Home at the end of the highway. Home at the end of the road. Home is the place you will find me. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home.
That's Eugene Ripper from his new release, Fast Folk Underground 4.0, End of the Highway. So he's still doing it, that guy. We were just talking about the move from the old Student Union building to the new hub. And, you know, I didn't know anything. Chris kind of maybe knew a little bit more, but who knows? There's already a PSA written about it. And let's hear it. Let's find out what's really going on tomorrow.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the 77th Annual Radio Relay Race.
That's right, Jim. Lots of great radio stations out on the track this morning, but my personal favorite is CITR. That baby's been going strong for close to 5 decades.
Astute observation as always, Bill, but I think the key is going to be passing the broadcast smoothly from the old sub to the new station in the nest.
Absolutely agree, Jim. Folks, you should tune in on Saturday, June 27th, and listen live to their first broadcast from the new station.
That was oddly direct, Bill.
You know how much I value clarity, Jim. The big changeover happens from 1 to 5 p.m. on the 27th.
Tune in then, folks.
Well, it didn't have as much new information as I thought it would.
1 to 5 p.m. is going to be a very, very slow parade.
Yeah.
Crawling.
Yeah, because it doesn't go very far. No. But I like the having the Russian national anthem in the background there. That was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Some other stuff that's coming up in terms of events and our auditions and other things that are happening. Wednesday is Canada Day. It's a big party in this country of ours. And the folks at the Progress Lab at 142 William Street out in the Commercial Drive area, they're having a big party. There's an open house barbecue thing going on during the day. And then starting at 8 o'clock, there'll be a big, big event. It's co-produced by It's a Zoo, Hardline Productions, and Some Theater. And there will be booze, food, music, Canadian trivia, and sweet-ass prizes, including, the drinks will be good anyway. And an all-Canadian dance party with all your favorite hits from our glorious nation, past and present. It'll be an all-CanCon dance party.
Wow.
Yeah. That's going to be an ambitious project. They'll probably be playing Kim Mitchell and...
I suspect there'll be some Trooper.
Trooper, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Anyway, that goes underway.
People try to dance to Rush.
Yeah. Well, they're theater people, you know. It'll be interpretive anyway. So it'll be happening Wednesday, Canada Day, at Progress Lab, 142 William Street, and gets underway at 8 o'clock. It's only $5, and it's a cash-only event. So, as they say, bring lots of our beautifully colored money. If you want more information, itsazoo.org, and we'll post a link on the Dave Radio Facebook page. If you're looking for an audition, Mitch and Murray Productions are doing Rapture, Blister, and Burn in November, and they are having auditions for the role of Avery, 21-year-old female. Actors must be able to play early 20s believably in a small theater space, so you can't get away with makeup and lighting on this one. The auditions are Monday at Carousel Theater on Granville Island, and they'll ask you to submit ahead of time, and then they'll contact you if you've got an audition scheduled. Up in the Air Theater is doing the North Plan, directed by a friend of the show, Chelsea Haberlin, also part of It's a Zoo. And that show goes up in October and November, and their auditions are this weekend at the Playwrights Theater Center, 739 Gore. You can send your submissions to upinthe.com. North Van Community Players are doing the Mystery Plays by Roberta Aguiar-Sarcaza. And these are two unrelated one acts, but loosely based in the tradition of medieval mystery plays, October and November at Hendry Hall in North Van. Auditions this weekend, looking for six actors, four men and two women. White Rock Players doing Death of a Salesman in October. Their auditions are July 2nd and 5th. Metro is doing Heatstroke in September. They are looking for four men and two women between the ages of 30 and 50. The auditions are this weekend as well. And Theater in the Raw is having their big annual general auditions tonight. So you might be able to crash that one. They're doing 12 Angry Jurors, 12 Angry Men, but with a gender-neutral casting, and a pack of five one-act plays that will be produced in late July and also in February, March of next year. Theaterintheraw.ca for more information on that. Fighting Chance also doing their general auditions this weekend. Auditions at fightingantsproductions.ca. And let's see, that one's already done. Pantos. Yes, they're already starting to do the Christmas pantos. White Rock's doing Cinderella. Metro's doing Sleeping Beauty. Their auditions are coming up. Let's see, White Rock's is next week, and then Metro's is later on in the year. And then the last one we'll talk about is The Wizard of Oz at the Gateway Theater. They're looking for anybody, everybody, all kinds of singers, dancers, actors, jugglers, little dogs, too, at the Gateway Theater in Richmond. And lots of great folks involved with that. Those auditions are happening this weekend. If you want more information on these and other audition notices, you go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca.
On February 8th, come join the Musqueam Nation in support of fundraising for their youth cultural exchange to New Zealand. Headlining the fundraiser will be Murray Porter, a Juno Award-winning blues musician critically lauded for the interplay between his buttery soft keyboard skills and his gravelly intonated voice. The fundraiser benefits seven Musqueam youth who will be traveling to Rotorua to explore Maori culture and how it can inform their own traditional experience. The event will be held at the Musqueam Cultural Center, located at 4000 Musqueam Avenue on Saturday, February 8th at 7 p.m.
So Chris just had an interesting question about the auditions for Wizard of Oz. I mean, they're going to be gender neutral and colorblind, but...
I want to be a munchkin.
Yeah.
5'8".
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
I don't know. I mean, they should be size neutral
as well.
I would
think.
If you can do the voice, you can get there.
I can do the voice.
So you used to be the theater critic for the Globe and Mail.
I was the everything critic for
the
Globe and Mail.
You were the arts.
It was in Western Canada?
Western Canada arts guy.
You were at
guy.
My mercy, yeah. Yes.
So, did you ever attend the Jesse Awards?
I did, I think.
Yeah. They just happened at the Commodore last weekend. And lots of friends of the show got trophies this year. Including France Paris, who's an old friend. I used to take acting classes with her about 20 years ago. And she's with Théâtre de la 16e, which does French language theater in Vancouver. And they've been around for a long time. They took the most Jesse Awards this year. Their production of, what was it? It was a Michel Tremblay play, A Trois pour Toujours. And they took Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Supporting Actress in the Large Theater category. And they also took a couple of awards in the Theater for Young Audiences category, including director Rachel Peake, who we just talked to a couple of weeks ago. She did Selfie. Also, congratulations to Christine Quintada, who won the Sydney Risk Prize for Best New Play, also for writing Selfie. And then a couple of Arts Club Awards went to Dean Paul Gibson and A.J. Giuliani for their work on St. Joan. Dean was fantastic as the Earl of Warwick.
I like that production.
Yeah. And A.J. Giuliani did the sound design. Mm-hmm. And he always does fantastic work on that. So good for him for getting an award. Our friends at Awesomest Theatre, who did Our Town, they got Best Small Theater Production and Artistic Achievement for the Ensemble Work. Richard Wolfe was Best Director for Pye Theater's Blasted. And also, let's see, Ruby Slippers, Scott Bellis and Jennifer Lyons for their acting in After Me. And Mara Gottler's costumes for The Duchess, the play about the Duchess of Windsor. And then there was one other I wanted to mention. UBC Theater Professor Jerry Wasserman got a special award for his career achievement. That was the Vancouver Professional Theatre Alliance Award. And our pal Scott Ashton Swan, who's been involved, he's one of the people that started Applause Musicals in, Applause Musicals on in concert. And he got an achievement award for his work promoting musical theater. Delinquent Theater's Stationery took an award for Best Emerging Company. And our dear friend Jill Dom, who was part of Mum's the Word, and she's also wife of John Mann, a longtime member of Theater of the Spirit of the West. She got a special award, the John Moffat and Larry Lillo Prize, which is a cash award that allows her to work on a script that she and John are working on for his experience right now. He's dealing with early onset Alzheimer's. And so she got an award for carrying that on. John's last health crisis was he had a bout of cancer a few years ago, and he produced an album, and now the Arts Club is doing a musical about based on that album, written by Morris Panych, and that's going to be coming up next season.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So some congratulations to everybody who picked up a trophy at the Jessies on Monday night. Okay, so it's 1:45. I think we can play some more music, and then we'll find something else to talk about.
Thank you.
So we're talking about Shindig there, and yeah, these are the guys. They won. They took first place in the most recent Shindig, the Still Creek Murder. So yeah, something that started way back when, still going strong, still giving showcase to new bands and giving people a chance to get up on stage and show what they can do.
And they'd make their first recordings. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been good. I wanted to take a minute or two just to acknowledge a couple of members of our community that that passed away this past week. One was Amy Wallace. Amy actually died about 10 days ago, but we didn't get a chance to talk about her last time. She's only 31 years old. She got struck down by leukemia, and she was a rising star in musical theater in Canada. She'd already done Charlottetown, and I think she'd done some work in some stuff in Toronto, but she got her start in Vancouver. Her mom, Val Easton, longtime choreographer for the Arts Club, and I remember
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Hello, hello. You are listening to Femme Concept on CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Coast Salish Musqueam Territory on UBC campus. My name is Erica. I normally have my co-host Eleanor here today, but unfortunately for me, fortunately for her, she is off in Calgary at Sled Island Music Festival. And she will be dearly missed because today is our last show in the old station that we've been in for the past 46 years. So with a heavy heart, my friend is going and enjoying local music elsewhere, and I am here by my lonesome. But that is no problem. I'm stoked. I have a bunch of awesome music lined up. That song you just heard was called Burning Bride by Shilpa Ray, who is a musician and band from Brooklyn, New York. This just came out in 2015 on her album called Last Year's Savage. My friend Andy Resto, who is also our new music coordinator at the station, he led me this way, and I just cannot get enough. Her voice is impeccable. She also has another project called Shilpa Ray and Her Happy Hookers, which is a little bit more punk, I would say. That was the song you just heard. And I'm going to move along today and talk about a few exciting things that have happened this morning, pretty much. Also give a little bit of a rundown of what's going on this weekend. And, you know, always just play some tunes and play 100% FemCon, because that's the style of this show. So when we play FemCon, something becomes FemCon or is deemed FemCon when two of four categories are fulfilled, and those categories